Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End podcast extra in association with the Workingham paper. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show. After no show last week, we are back to talk all things Reading Football Club. I'm delighted to be joined once again by the Workingham paper's Tom Crocker. Tom, hi, how are you?
Morning, Ollie. Yeah, good, thank you. Good to be back. How about yourself?
Too bad. Thanks. I'm a little bit disappointed we didn't get to talk about the Whenever Stevenage last week.
Yeah, I think we might have missed our chance to get onto a win, but hopefully this time next week we'll have a couple to talk about, maybe.
Crossed, yeah. We will start, unfortunately, with the defeat against Brentford last Saturday, a 1-0 defeat to Brentford. We will start with the positives, because I actually thought the performance itself was actually much improved in recent weeks, and considering that Brentford have sort of dominated all the recent meetings between the two sides and are in much better form than Reading, for the most part, I thought it was fairly even. I think Liam Kelly hit the bar with a free kick. Jan Kernhagen had one clear off the line. And in general, I think we created more chances, really, but without sort of being overly threatening, so to speak.
Yeah, I think if you look at one of the big things to take away from it was that it was a better performance than the home games against Birmingham and Burton. Not that there's too much to go on from that, but yeah, I think it was certainly an improvement. Brentford are a good side. I think they're sort of 3 points off the playoffs now. They're a difficult team to beat. I think they were one of the better teams to come to the Madstad last year, and they got a bit unfortunate there. And in the reverse game this season, Reading came away, got a bit lucky to come away with a point from that game as well. So yeah, they're always going to be a tough game. Like you say, Reading hit the bar, had one off the line, and they had a couple more chances after going behind as well. I think the big one just before they conceded, Mo Barrow missed.
Yep.
We didn't even shoot, really. He had a chance and they go straight out the other end and score, and that just sums up the season a little bit, really. I think it would be a bit unfair to sort of just go on about those chances. I mean, Brentford had the chance themselves, and Vito made a couple of good stops, and Brentford will feel they played pretty well. I think the first half was a bit of a non-event, really. There weren't too many chances. Reading were well in the game right up until that goal, really, and even after that they created chances as well. So yeah, I don't think anyone could have really complained if it ended up a draw. I think there was decent chances on both sides. I mean, Tyler Blackett cleared one off the line as well. So yeah, it was a pretty even game, but it's another defeat, and obviously everyone leaves a bit disappointed. But I don't think there was the same negative feeling around the place as there was during and after the last two home games. So yeah, you've got to hope that's obviously a positive, hopefully, and that they can build on that in the next couple of games. But ultimately, they've fallen a point closer to the bottom three now.
Once again, the presence of John Daly Bodvarsson was certainly noticeable, and obviously with no show last week, we missed out on a chance to talk about his fabulous hat-trick against Stevenage. But for me, he was Reading's best player on the pitch once again against Brentford. He was hard working, he had a couple of decent efforts, and really proved why he needs to be starting more often, I think.
Yeah, he did okay. Like you say, after his hat-trick against Stevenage, there was a lot of talk around the press room at the start of the game. We thought he might still be on the bench, though, just from what Yap was saying. It felt like he might just stick Jan back in again, which I think would have been a mistake. I think it would have put him under a lot of pressure right from the start if he had not put John Daly in the team. And yeah, I think he played okay. He had a decent-ish chance at the start of the second half, flashed just wide, and that was a good effort. And I think he could have done better for one at the end as well. He put over the bar. But yeah, in terms of his overall play, he just gives Reading an outlet, really, which when you play, Jan struggling a bit for form, and even when Jan came on, John Daly stayed as the main striker and Jan played in behind him. So I think that's a sign that he's happier with Bodvarsson up front at the moment, and you've got to hope that he'll give him a little run in the team, because it seems he hasn't really had a run since he's joined Reading. And you say he got the confidence from the hat-trick on the Tuesday night, and he played well again against Brentford. So yeah, I think right now he has to be at the top of the pecking order, really, just based on purely on form. And as good as Jan was last season, he struggled a little bit to get back into that sort of rhythm so far this season. And there's no question he could get back to that sort of form, but it might have to be off the bench, maybe. I think Bodvarsson has to be starting games at the moment.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. But whether Yap sees it from that point of view, I'm not so sure. We must talk about the negatives, though. Unfortunately, also the key one being the Brentford goal, which came in the 75th minute from one-time Reading target, Lasse Weber, actually. And the thing that annoyed me about this one, really, you mentioned it earlier, but it came really about just 20 seconds after Mo Barrow had missed a great opportunity at one end, and then Brentford just countered, got a bit lucky with how the ball came straight back to them after the Manone denied Florian Joseph soon. But it was great composure from Weber to find a net through a number of bodies.
Yeah, it was just so frustrating. I mean, we went down and spoke with Thiago Laurie after the game, and he said Reading just had to stop the counter-attack foul, whether it be through a foul or anything else, just stop them from breaking away, because it was just too easy, really. Like I say, Reading had that good chance, and they were, in a sense, maybe they might be able to grab a winner from it, and suddenly they go 1-0 down, and Reading don't tend to battle back too many times from falling behind this season. So it just sucked the... I wouldn't say it sucked the life out of the performance. I think they had a couple of decent chances after that. I think Mo Barra nearly scored straight away afterwards. Keeper made a decent save. But, yeah, it just made it so much more difficult conceding that goal. And, like you say, it was a soft goal to concede, which is probably even more frustrating. Like you say, just decent save from Nonet. It came back to him, and there was a couple of men on the line, and he just managed to put it past them. But, yeah, the way it got from one end to the other was just... That was a big disappointment. And... Yeah, like Thiago said after the game, they just had to try and stop that counter-attack any way they could, really, just to kill the momentum that Brentford were getting when they were flooding forwards.
I think that was certainly Brentford's tactic for most of the game, just try and counter-attack Reading. And I think then after our goal winning, they were fouling us quite a lot to try and stop us getting a goal back. And I think, to be honest, I think we've seen a couple of times this season when Reading have gone a goal behind, they've sort of got into their shell and not really created much. But even though we didn't score, I think, as you say, we did have a couple of opportunities. Mo Barrow, that one there after Kermigan's shot deflected into his path, and the Kermigan one off the line came after that as well. But unfortunately, that result does keep Reading 18th in the table and now winless in 8 league games and just 4 points off the drop zone. And certainly from my perspective, Tom, we are now in a relegation battle, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the message that's coming out of the club as well. I mean, everyone we've spoken to this week has acknowledged that it is a relegation battle now, and it's certainly not sort of fatal. There's still plenty of points to play for, but they're all, I think, we spoke with the assistant manager Aldrink this week, and he said they had a meeting a couple of weeks ago just to make everyone aware that the ambition has changed for this season now. They need to roll the sleeves up and get stuck into this. It's a real relegation battle, and they say they seem like they've been 18th for ages now. It seems every week they still seem to be 18th, which I suppose is the only positive, that teams below them are dropping points as well. But yeah, it's only 4 points off now. I think only 5 points off the bottom of the table. So there's a couple of big games coming up in the next week or so, which could pull Reading a little bit clearer of that. But yeah, they haven't won a league game since they threw away that lead against Cardiff back in December. And it's 8 games now. And yeah, they're slowly sliding towards that bottom three. And they just need to find a way to get out of this slump. You hope that maybe the Stevenage game might have given them that little boost. And like you say, there was positives against Brentford, so hopefully they can take something from that game into, obviously it's FA Cup this weekend, but then a couple of league games next week. And if they win both of those league games, as we say every week, it seems that they'll be looking a lot prettier in the table. But right now they're firmly in the relegation battle, and I think everyone at the club realises that now.
So next game, we've got Burton next Tuesday and Millwall a week on Saturday, and really if we don't take anything from those games, I think we really are in trouble. But both, we can move on to the FA Cup then, and both in both 2014-15 and 15-16, the FA Cup has provided a welcome break from struggles in the league, so everyone will be hoping that once again proves to be the case this season. As on Friday night, of course, Reading travelled to Sheffield Wednesday for their fourth round tie, and much like us, the Owls needed a replay to get past League Two opposition in the third round, beating Carlisle 2-0 after the original game ended 0-0. It was also goalless when Reading and Wednesday met in the league back at the Medeski in November. But Wednesday have changed managers since then, with Jos Luhukki. I probably butchered that name completely, but he replaces Carlos Carvajal. Having watched that league game in November, Tom, what sort of opposition do you think Wednesday can provide, obviously, considering that they have got a new boss and perhaps might rotate some players as well?
Yeah, as I say, the fact they've got a new manager makes it a little bit difficult to sort of predict exactly what they'll be like. But it's very similar to Reading, their story, really. They obviously got to the playoffs last year, and they're struggling this year now. And I think there's only 3 points between them in the league, and Wednesday on just as bad a run as Reading are. And though you mentioned that 2-0 win against Carlisle, that's the only goals they've scored in the last 6 games, I think. So they can't score goals, and Reading can't score goals either at the moment. It's both teams are in a bit of a rut. So yeah, like you say, those, you mentioned those 2 cup runs, which sort of saved the season a little bit, really. Probably saved a couple of the managers maybe as well. The league form, that it was similar to this season, and they got the run to the semis and the quarters of the FA Cup, and it just boosted the place a little bit and ensured Reading managed to get over the line and not get sucked into the relegation those seasons. And you've got to hope it's the same again. I mean, it's a tricky trip, but still a winnable tie, certainly. And Sheffield Wednesday, it's a little bit unknown. I think the new manager's had 3 games now, maybe, and changed formation a couple of times in those games. So it's hard to know exactly what they'll be like, but they can't be full of confidence because they're not winning many games either, just like Reading. So, yeah, it's certainly one that's up for grabs, but it's hard to predict exactly how it'll go, other than I think it'll be pretty tight.
You know, their lack of form of late, and they have failed to score a league goal in 2018, much like Reading have, and they've drawn two and lost two of their last four championships games. So not quite as bad as Reading, but still in fairly bad form. And obviously Reading are probably in the worst form of all of 32 teams left in the FA Cup, but in terms of opposition, I think Sheffield Wednesday were probably certainly one of the better sides to draw, weren't they?
Yeah, like you say, it's both two teams that are out of form, and yeah, it's I'd say you'd rather it was a home game, but I think the away form might still be better than the home form, so it's I don't think there's any real disadvantage to travelling up there. It's a Friday night game, and Hillsborough is always a tricky place generally to go to, but yeah, it's one that they can certainly win through to, and then you never know, you're in the last 16 then, and who knows who you're going to get after that. So yeah, he's got to hope it can provide a little bit of confidence and a bit of a different feeling around the place after the... It's just a relief from the league, really, I suppose. If they lose on Friday night, then suddenly it's all about Tuesday, and it's quickly forgotten, I think, if they lose on Friday, just because it's a different competition. But if they can get the win, then suddenly you've got something else to look forward to. And yes, it's certainly a winnable tie, and one that they'll go up there and try and get the job done on the night, and if not, bring them back to them days, like they did with Stevenage. And yeah, I think they'll be quite happy with the draw, and I think they'll be quietly confident they can get past Sheffield Wednesday.
Of course, last season's league game at Hillsborough was a Friday night game with goals from Jan Kermigan and Adrian Popper, getting a big win in their fight for the playoffs, and that seems a long, long time ago now. But how are Reading looking injury-wise ahead of the trip to Yorkshire? I think we saw Omar Richards forced off against Brentford, didn't we?
Yeah, he went off at half-time. Wasn't clear straight away, actually. That was an injury, but it's a hamstring problem as well. I think he was taken off more as a precaution, it sounds like, rather than anything serious. But yeah, he won't be playing on Friday. And then you've still got John Swift and Paul McShane are also out of hamstring injuries. So they're doing a bit of extra research into the Swift one, because it's the third time he's picked up a hamstring injury this season. So they're trying to find out exactly what's going wrong there. And it sounds like McShane's going to be out for longer than those two, so he could be out for quite a while, which obviously opens the door for a couple of other guys to come in at centre-back. And I think McShane's form's dipped a bit this season anyway, so yeah, he'll be out for a little while. And in terms of the other ones, it's nothing new apart from Omar Richards, really. You'll see Callum Harriott's due to play for the under-23s next weekend, but obviously we've seen he's had so many setbacks, it's hard to know that for definite until he's on the pitch. But yeah, he's planned to come back soon, which would be a nice boost. I think Reading could do something a bit different in attack, so if he can get himself fit, I think he could have a decent chance of getting in the team. But as for this Friday, yeah, it's the same as last week, minus Omar Richards at the moment.
That John Swift one is a little bit worrying. Obviously, you said three hamstring injuries there. We're at risk of sort of him becoming an injury-prone player, so to speak. But and obviously, with Paul McShane, I think it'd be good to see more of Thiago Alori.
Yeah, like I say, you never want players to get injured, but Paul McShane's form has dipped a little bit, and people have sort of been calling to give Thiago maybe a little chance, even if McShane was fit. And now Yap's been forced into that, and I'm sure Alori will be the first man to come into that team. I mean, he's looked okay when he's played. I mean, he's very quick and he's decent on the ball and good in the air. So I don't think there's any real concern with him playing in there. We'll see, as long as if it's him and Lee Moore in there, I think they'll be okay. In terms of the defensively, they're not letting in that many goals, really. It's not, I think I saw the stats someone put up, they haven't let in more than two goals in the whole of the season in any game. So that's not the biggest problem really at the moment. And I think Thiago can fit into that fine. And yeah, he'll make that place his for whenever McShane is back. And as for Swift, yes, you don't really want to label players injury prone, but he's been out three times this season. I think one time he did both his hamstrings at once somehow. So yeah, he's got hamstring issues, and they're looking into how they can try and manage it. I mean, they've been really careful with him all season, but it just keeps coming back up when they're not expecting it. So I don't think they'll rush him back as important as he is when he's in full flight. But yeah, so he's missing again, and they're just going to try and find a way to fix his injury problems, because he's such an important player, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So all things considered then, what's your prediction for this one, Tom? Obviously it doesn't count in the prediction league, but just for fun.
I think Friday night it could be a 1-1. I think you could draw it and bring it back for a replay. I mean, I can't see it being more than one goal in it, really. I think it's such a tight game, and like with many Reading games this season, you've got to hope they can take their chance. But yeah, I think it could end level and then come back for another replay, maybe.
I think I might go 0-0 just purely because of the lack of goals coming from both sides. And finally, then we will talk about transfers. As believe it or not, it is still the transfer window. It is still open despite the lack of activity at Reading. It was, as you mentioned, it was Andrews Olderink, not Yapstam, at the pre-match press conference on Tuesday. Tom, did he have any update on potential arrivals or departures?
The update is sort of no update, really. That was the the message. It's been sort of going up and down, that sort of message all window. And obviously, there's less than a week to go now. Say right at the start of the window, Yap was fairly confident and keen to get two or three players in, and then as the sort of weeks went on, it became apparent that there wasn't the sort of money available that he might have thought there was, or that the club were hoping to spend, and that sort of culminated in this week speaking to Andries, and he sort of said there's at the moment there's nothing doing really. The players they want that they can't get for a price that they can afford, and in terms of players out, there's no plans to let anyone go either. So at the moment, it sounds like it's going to be a similar squad. However, it's the final week of the window. Things change so quickly. I still think Reading will get in at least one. I think it seems clear they're looking for a left-back and a striker, and they've been looking for that all window. And things, as we know, in the last week, prices for players change, and players who clubs might want to get out of the club suddenly in the last week, they might decide to let them go for a cheaper deal or on loan or something. So yes, it's been a frustrating month for Brian Tevreden and the guys trying to sort the transfers out, because they know the players they want. They can't reach agreements which suit the sort of financial deal, and now as well, which Olderink said on Tuesday, is they've sort of changed their plans a little bit, because they've got to try and find players who are ready for a relegation battle, as opposed to maybe youngsters who are talented and could improve at the club. They just want to need people that are going to come in now and help Reading haul themselves up the table. So that's changed their focus a little bit as well, and that changes the players that you're trying to get in. And yeah, it's just been a frustrating month, and he sounded quite sort of downbeat about it when we asked them on Tuesday that they're trying to get deals done, but they just can't do it. And you've got to hope. I'm still fairly confident over the next week things change so quickly that they will be able to get one, if not two, through the door, and I think it'll be a big boost to everyone if they can do that. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed that they can get a couple over the line, but it might have to be loan deals, I think.
We've had fairly prolific transfer windows so far on the Yapstam. I think obviously five players came in last January, but obviously three of those were loan deals on deadline day. So hopefully Andrews is just tempering expectations a little bit. But obviously I think if anyone comes in, it will indeed be in the final couple of days with the window shutting next Wednesday, of course. Probably the player most heavily linked is Derby striker Chris Martin, who seems to be available on loan, as you mentioned. But and Martin himself has now jetted off to Dubai with Derby to a warm weather training camp. Do you think he's probably a likely arrival?
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, they've obviously brought in Cameron Jerome now, and they've got so many strikers Derby that Chris Martin isn't going to get hardly any football, you don't imagine, if he stays there until the end of the season. I'm sure he's enjoying his trip with the team this weekend, but when he comes back, he'll realise that he's got to try and find a club for the rest of the season. And yeah, Sunderland, it's obviously they're below Reading, but they got a win last week, and it's obviously it's still a big club at this level. So if he goes there, he'll probably play every week, and it sounds like those are the two clubs that are in for him at the moment. I mean, Reading I think they do have some interest in him, but yeah, whether they can fight off Sunderland and whoever else might be after him is a different question. And you would also think that if that's one that they were trying to do on a loan deal, they might have managed to get it done by now. But yeah, like you say, it's last season they got in three right at the end of the window, and it wouldn't surprise me if there was something similar again, just because the way these windows work, Chris Martin, he sounds like he's going to be leaving there. They seem to be leaving it right until the end to get the best deal they can for him. So yeah, he could be one that could come in. I think if not him, then I think there certainly are a couple of other strikers they're looking at, and that certainly seems to be an area that obviously scored two goals in seven league games and need another body in up front, really. And yeah, he could be one. And then as for other names, it's all a bit quiet at the moment. But I'm sure there's some out there that they'll try and force through before next Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously last season, I think the likes of Lewis Grabban and Rhys Hockford sort of came out of the blue, so we could see a couple of names pop up in the next week or so. In terms of departures, I think Olderick said he wouldn't sell Liam Moore for under £30 million, so that one's a non-starter.
It's not all down to Olderick, that's the main...
That's true, yeah.
I mean, he said from his point of view, if it was down to him, he wouldn't sell him, they need him for the rest of the season, but if someone comes in with a decent money for Liam Moore, I'm sure the club would certainly look at it. But they'd have to get a replacement. I think they don't think they could carry on with the the defenders they've got if they were to sell Liam Moore, but it would obviously free up some funds for someone else. But it's been a bit quiet on that front, really, for the last couple of weeks. There's been no offers for him, no concrete interest. And as it stands, he stays where he is. I mean, Aldrich said there might be sort of a youngster might go out on loan, but apart from that, there's no plans to let anyone go. They're happy with the squad. And let's say if they bring someone in, then you look at a couple of guys who might get moved on. You look at the likes of Popper, who isn't really featuring for the first team. He could be one that moves on, but right now they're not looking to get rid of anyone because they can't get anyone in. So they're not keen on weakening the squad, really, especially with the fact they keep picking up injuries throughout the season. They don't really want to weaken their hand unless they can bring in reinforcements, I don't think, first.
The thing that frustrates me about Adrian Popper is he's clearly doing well with the under-23s and scoring some very good goals. And I know that's not quite the same as senior football, but surely he can't do a much worse job than, say, Sonny Luca or Roy Behrens, can he?
Yeah, I think it's got to be getting to a point now where he deserves a chance. I know we spoke about him. His name seems to pop up every week, just because of the way he's doing for the 23s. And Aldrink said this week that Popper keeps coming to them saying, if you're not going to pick me in the first team, I want to play for the reserve team and get some minutes. And he's doing that, and he's scoring the goals. And as Yapstam's always said, if players go down to the 23s and they perform, then they'll get a chance. So he sort of needs to back that up, really. And like you say, with Aluko so badly out of form now, and there's no reason not to give Popper a game. He can't, like you say, it can't go much worse with him in the team. And he must be in a confident mood, albeit scoring goals in the under-23s. He still is scoring goals, which is something most of the forwards at Reading can't really say at the moment. So I think there's a decent chance he'll be with the squad on Friday, and hopefully he can get on there and do something. And then if he does that, then there's no reason why he can't start on the Tuesday either. So yeah, he's out of favour a bit at the moment, but he's doing everything he can to get back in the team. And yeah, just got to hope that he is given a chance. I think he deserves one, really.
We will have to wait and see what the next week or so has, I'm sure. This time next week, when we speak after the transfer window is shut, hopefully we'll have at least one new arrival to talk about. Speaking of the next week or so, then what can we expect on the working and paper in the coming days?
Yes, we've got, like you said, more from Aldrink on Tuesday. We spoke with Chris Gunter as well, so he'll got stuff from him. And also we've got a brand new Reading FC column started from this week with your colleague at Simeon Pickup's done a column for us. Yep. New weekly column, so that'll be up online probably later today. Trying to put a positive spin on what's been going on recently, which is something for Reading fans to try and enjoy. So that'll be going up later today, and yeah, that's all coming up over the next couple of days, really, before the game on Friday.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much for joining me once again on the podcast.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ollie.
And of course, stay tuned to the Tired SDN for all the latest news and views as well. And if you haven't listened to the latest main show podcast with Mark as well yet, I would thoroughly recommend as well if it is a great interview with Matt and Joe from the Amazons, who obviously, of course, are a local band as well. Right then, we will be back next week with plenty to talk about, I hope, with the Cup game against Wednesday and the League game against Burton next Tuesday, and of course the transfer window closing as well. But until then, thank you very much for listening, and come on, you Ars!
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@ The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.